This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 7:12 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. Our next story, the Immigration Department is planning to deport 1,200 Myanmar citizens. Civil societies, however, are worried about whether this is safe given that this comes right after the recent military coup.
Yeah, so the plan that has been announced is to deport them back to Myanmar on the 23rd of February on Navy ships. And this comes from the Immigration Director General, Datuk Khairul Zaimi Daud, who said that the detainees were accused of not having the right or not having valid travel documents and also overstaying their visas here in Malaysia. But UNHCR has actually criticised this move, saying that Malaysia is bound by the principle of non-refoulement, where people shouldn't be returned to a country where they might be in danger. That said, the department is likely to continue, as it seems, as of now, despite the UN applying pressure, because the Immigration Department said that these migrants are not Rohingyas, therefore the implication being that they won't be in danger. They have, however, been criticised for a lack of transparency in this whole process. UNHCR hasn't been able to visit the detention centres. They can't verify the status of these migrants and whether they are in fact in need of protection or not.
So, on that note about refugees, as opposed to just thinking about the status of the country, the reason why this is coming up is in no small part because of the recent coup as well, because on the 1st of February, the military seized control in Myanmar, overthrowing the National League for Democracy. They then declared a state of emergency for a year. And our reaction to this has been quite strong. So the Prime Minister, Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, criticised the military takeover, calling it a setback to democracy. So, and I think that if we look at the reports that have been coming out of Myanmar, there has been mixed reactions and, in fact, pockets of no information, right? In some cases, it's been very difficult for citizens, people on the ground, to actually communicate what's happening because of a lack of internet in some instances. Mm. So I think that going beyond just looking at everybody, you know, thinking about Myanmar only through the lens of the Rohingyas, I understand why that's the case. You know, it's really kind of dominated the narrative for a very long time. But looking at the larger context of what's going on within the government is also important.
Yes, and it also does need to be pointed out that Rohingyas are not the only groups of refugees that we have here from Myanmar. We do have refugees here from the Chin communities, from the Kachin communities. So in general, there is a lot of questions in terms of who these people are that are being sent back, and whether we are actually putting them in a situation where they're going to be in danger. With a lot of the typical modes of protection that would have been available to them as citizens, even if they weren't persecuted groups, are currently not really operating because of the fact that the country is now under the military junta.
So let us know what you think. The Immigration Department is reportedly planning to deport 1,200 Myanmar citizens. And despite the fact that there has been pushback, it would appear that they are going to proceed with this. You can call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now we're crossing over to Katrina Joreen Maliamau, Executive Director at Amnesty International Malaysia. Katrina, thank you for speaking with us. So what do we know about the 1,200 migrants that will be deported back to Myanmar?
Hi, and thank you so much for just having us on to keep this really serious issue on air. So, you know, this is precisely our concern, right? Who will be deported? Will they be at risk upon return? Do they have asylum claims? Are they registered refugees? Are there children? Are there persons with additional vulnerabilities? I mean, the entire process of detention and deportation is being carried out in a shroud of secrecy. And we know that when there is a lack of transparency, human rights violations festers. You know, so Reuters reported yesterday that refugee groups are saying that there's nearly 100 asylum seekers on the list of the 1,200 people to be deported. We're hearing reports that there may be more, and I'm not surprised. You know, additionally, you know, for migrants who may have wanted to return to Myanmar last month, things have drastically changed in Myanmar in the last 19 days, right? And so it may no longer be safe for them to do so now, especially if they've been critical of the Myanmar government, if they posted about it on social media. So the risks right now are really high, and we're incredibly concerned of who's going to be sent back.
How would you make sense of this timing in which this deportation is happening, you know, given the political turmoil that is happening in Myanmar, as you described?
Right. I mean, it's utterly outrageous. That's what it is. You know, how has the Malaysian government made an assessment that any deportation now would not lead to human rights violations? So we'd like to remind the government that repatriation must always be done safely in a dignified manner and when there's no risk posed to returnees, right? And the Malaysian government also has an obligation under international customary law to uphold the principle of non-refoulement, which means you cannot send anyone back into a country in which they may face persecution. When the coup happened, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs put out a statement immediately stating that they viewed with serious concern what was going on in Myanmar and the affirmed peace and stability and security in Myanmar. But then 10 days later, they agreed to deport 1,200 people back to Myanmar. You know, so what are the motivations of the Myanmar military government to facilitate this return now after the coup, when Myanmar nationals have been languishing in detention centers for years? Why would the Malaysian government choose to send anyone back to a country in conflict that is increasingly marred with human rights violations? Who is benefiting really from this act that puts the lives of asylum seekers, migrants and refugees at risk?
So the immigration DG has said that none of these 1,200 migrants are Rohingyas or carry a UNHCR card identifying them as refugees. How much weight are civil societies giving to this claim?
Right. So the question that we have for the immigration DG, Khairul Zami Dawood, is how did you make this determination when for 1.5 years, the government has prevented UNHCR from accessing detention centres, from identifying and registering asylum seekers who may be detained, and for securing the release of refugees? So, like I mentioned, we've already, you know, started to hear reports from refugee groups of asylum seekers on the list. This may include individuals who have been detained for so long, for so many years, under the most deplorable conditions, and have really, you know, maybe perhaps put in this position where they're choosing to return because there's no route out, you know, and I use the word choose here with major quotation marks, right? You know, I think it's important that we understand really that the deprivation of liberty is a very grave thing. So can you just imagine the trauma of being in an overcrowded detention center during a pandemic and there's no hope of release because really no one is coming for you? So we're not convinced of the claims and we really would like an explanation from the Immigration DG and from the Ministry of Home Affairs.
On that point, are these migrants caught between two very difficult choices of either withstanding harsh conditions in our detention centres or returning to a potentially unsafe situation back home?
Right. I mean, so again, right, this is not really a situation of choice because if you're an asylum seeker who was detained you know, in June or July or August 2019 or any time after that. Now, and you have an asylum claim, it's not safe for you to return, but for 1.5 years or even more, you're trapped in this detention center and there's no avenue out. People may be put themselves in the situation where they try and risk returning because they cannot endure the ongoing trauma of being in the immigration detention center. But again, I'd like to say, right, the context here is that for both asylum seekers and even migrants, 1 month ago, Myanmar was a very different place, right? And now, you know, we are in the middle of February, there's a military coup, the situation is terrible. We don't know if people in detention have any idea about what's going on in back home right now in Myanmar. And so, this, you know, the devil in the deep blue sea is really not the situation in which we should put anyone to choose between.
So with that said, and, you know, based on your description, is it even safe for them to be deported back to Myanmar, even if they are not Rohingya?
Right. So firstly, you know, there are refugees and asylum seekers of about a dozen different ethnicities from Myanmar right now in Malaysia, in addition to the Rohingya, right? And they all deserve to be protected. Secondly, for anyone in Myanmar, it's an incredibly volatile situation right now. So we don't know if migrants returning right now will be able to even travel home, as there are travel restrictions between cities or states, you know, if they can get support or aid that they may need, as the operations of human rights and aid groups have been impeded in the past few weeks. In ethnic minority areas, particularly in areas of contested governance and armed conflict between the state security forces and ethnic armed groups, they may be at risk. You know, also among the people who may be deported, this may include people who, I said earlier, you know, have expressed critical views of the military online, you know, including regarding the coup, and they may certainly face prosecution and imprisonment upon arrival. So I think the risks are very grave here, and it's, you know, for the Rohingya, certainly it would be. But for really anyone going back to Myanmar at this point. I also want to point out, right, that the military chief, Minong Lai, you know, was previously named by Amnesty International as one of the people who should be investigated for responsibility for crimes against humanity committed during the ethnic cleansing of the Rohingya population in northern Rakhine State in 2017. You know, under his leadership, the military has committed serious human rights violations, including war crimes in Rakhine, Chin, Kachin, and Northern Shan states. So I want people to keep this in mind, you know, so that we understand really the gravity of the situation right now.
You mentioned earlier that the UNHCR has not been permitted to visit detention centres for a year and a half now, and so they're not actually able to verify the status of these migrants or check the conditions in the centres. Why have they been restricted from visiting them in the first place?
So we don't know why, and from my understanding, neither has UNHCR been informed as to why they were cut off from detention centres for, you know, 1.5 years. You know, again, sort of this up from arbitrarily granting and denying the UN access to immigration detention to the prolonged arbitrary detention of migrants and refugees. Really, the immigration detention infrastructure in Malaysia festers human rights violations. People get lost in the system. You know, children even are trapped in there for years. So I think it's imperative that we understand that when there's no transparency, when there's no accountability, and the system is set up that affects the lives of thousands of people, can you just imagine sort of the continuous trauma that we're perpetuating here?
So without UNHCR presence, who would be able to keep, or who is keeping the immigration department in check, especially in terms of their operations and whom they choose to deport?
Right. So this is, you know, what is so concerning. Like I mentioned, the lack of oversight and accountability over the immigration department means there's simply no way to really keep the immigration department in check. So that it seems like they are at liberty to detain and deport as they choose. The Ministry of Home Affairs, you know, has so much powers. So what are the checks and balances really? And this is why, you know, we're saying, look, public outcry is so urgently needed. You know, Malaysians need to say that they reject these human rights violations, especially when the government, you know, actions against migrants and refugees are supposedly done, quote unquote, to protect Malaysians. So just, you know, from Amnesty International side and also, you know, from other human rights groups, we're asking members of the public to please, please use your voice and speak out. We're having an online social media action this Sunday, 21st of February from 3 to 5 p.m. We're asking people to post across social media, use the Migrant Juga Manusia tag and ask the Prime Minister, ask the Immigration Department to grant UNHCR access to not endanger migrant and Myanmar lives, right? So we'd like people to please participate, you know, keep an eye out for the action. Go to amnesty.my, look up Amnesty International Malaysia on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram for more information.
And Katrina, what are the implications if the government proceeds anyway with the deportation? And how would it affect our international standing, given that the Prime Minister himself has spoken out against the military coup in Myanmar?
Right. So, you know, I want us to think about this, right? So how do we think a government, you know, that detains migrants and refugees, including children, indefinitely should be viewed? How should we and others think about a government that is so seemingly reckless with people's lives and rights, willing to send them back to conflict and human rights and turmoil? How should this government be considered, right? You know, and how are we to trust, and how are others to trust a government that on one day speaks out against the military coup and makes statements about peace and security, but then a few days later follows it up with these, you know, shady deportation agreements with that very same military coup government. I think it's shameful. I think it's hypocritical. And as Malaysians and people who believe in human rights, we cannot stand for this. You know, Malaysia must use its role in ASEAN to forefront human rights, not compromise it.
So, Katrina, how do you think the Malaysian government should respond, or what are you hoping to see?
Right. So without delay, they must grant UNHCR access to the 1,200 people who are scheduled to be deported, and they must grant UNHCR full access to all those currently in detention facilities. The detention of people solely for immigration control is unjustifiable. We are calling for the immediate release of refugees, asylum seekers, and migrants detained for this reason. Refugees and asylum seekers, you know, they have to be afforded additional protections, including the full recognition of their right to seek international protection. This is a very doable thing that the Malaysian government can do right now, and we certainly hope that they do so.
Katrina, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Katrina Joreen Maliamau, Executive Director at Amnesty International Malaysia. Just to reiterate their call to action, it will be this Sunday in the evening from 3 to 5pm, where they're inviting everyone to post hashtag MigranJugaManusia to raise attention on the issue and tag relevant authorities. You can find out more on this initiative on their social media as well as on amnesty.my. In the meantime, we are about to head to the 7:30 news. Let us know what you think, though. Again, all this is happening because the Immigration Department is planning to deport 1,200 Myanmar nationals, and civil societies are wondering whether this is a safe thing to do, a responsible thing to do, given the recent events in the country. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.